A doorman ushered me toward the historic garden court inside the Palace Hotel, the sequins on my gold shift dress catching the light. Men in suits mingled with women in cocktail gowns. Beneath the grand crystal chandeliers and arched glass ceiling, I felt like I'd stepped back in time to the turn of the 20th century. Hunter stood against one of the marble columns under the elegant dome. I admired the cut of my husband's suit against his broad shoulders. His dark wavy hair was parted on the side. "Champagne, miss?" a waiter asked. "Yes, please." I took a glass flute from the tray. When I sipped, the sweet bubbles tickled my tongue. With enough champagne, maybe I could relax tonight. My mother-in-law's charity events often made me feel like a fish out of water. For one, I didn't do well with crowds, and I could already feel the heat of anxiety creeping up my neck. A gust of wind from the open door blew my bangs upward. I quickly brushed them down to hide the thin white scar on my forehead. Had anyone seen it? I took a deep breath through my nose. I was in a safe place. No one was paying attention to my scar. Except for me, of course. I exhaled slowly. After walking through the sea of people, I placed my hand on Hunter's arm, giving it a squeeze. He smiled, dimples on full display, an adorable grin crafted just for me.
"Hey, kiddo, so glad you made it. How's my favorite young lady tonight?"
I chuckled. Judging from the number of blue hairs who'd come out to the arts benefit, I was a young lady. A nice change from feeling ancient around Jen and Nick, my friends and former colleagues at Pulse of the City magazine. On my 30th birthday last month, I'd realized I liked my 10 p.m. bedtime, along with waking up early on weekends to go to the farmer's market sans hangover. More and more, I felt estranged from hip 20-something girls. Mostly, I didn't understand Tinder and had trouble convincing my younger friends that it was possible to get a headache after only two glasses of wine. Gwyneth appeared, gliding toward Hunter with a smile. She wore a long pale blue dress and a diamond tennis bracelet dangled from her wrist. I tucked my hands behind me, wishing I'd painted my nails for the event. My mother-in-law's gel manicure was perfect as usual. She kissed Hunter on the cheek and then stepped forward to hug me.
"Hello, Sarah. You look lovely tonight. I'm so pleased you could make it."
"Thank you," I said, feeling the soft warmth of her arms. Hunter leaned down to whisper in my ear,
"You do look gorgeous in that dress. I might be the luckiest guy in this place."
My body warmed, pleasant shivers working their way down my neck where his breath had touched me.
"Sarah, you haven't forgotten about the Canova by Moonlight Gala?" Gwyneth asked. "I could use your help setting up the space before the big reveal."
Oh, no. She'd told me about this. "Of course I'll help," I said. Even though I had only a few weeks left to finish my MFA thesis, and I'd intended to spend them solely on writing. A hard knot formed in my stomach as I thought about my novel, languishing on my computer, a painful reminder of my writer's block.
"May 30th, mark your calendar. The chair of the National Gallery of Ireland is flying in, and we'll be hosting him."
She smiled proudly.
"Walter is also on the board. The Minister of Arts appointed him for a 5-year term. Walter and Colin attended the London School of Economics together many years ago. Old friends, you see."
I nodded, my father-in-law's accomplishments never ceasing to amaze me. As much as I tried to impress him, I'd never live up to his standards. But who could? He was the executive director of his own investment banking firm, Havensworth & Associates, Harvard-educated, and the president of Havensworth Art Academy.